meeting, which is aimed at getting a briefing from the Department of Social Development. And at this stage, I would like to request everybody, for purposes of recording, to introduce themselves individually. I've just received the report that the Deputy Minister will be joining us in a few minutes. I hope by that time when we finish the introductions, she will be here. Let me start with the department to start introducing its team.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, members. My name is Zane Dango. I'm the Chief Operations Officer at the National Department of Social Development.
Good morning, Chair, Honourable Members. My name is Sadi Luka, Chief Director, Community Development. Good morning, my name is Kone Khanaka, Chief Director, HIV and AIDS.
Good morning, I'm Maria Mabiko, I'm the Deputy Director General for Welfare Services.
We're still in a meeting.
Good morning. I'm Dorothy Simon, Acting Chief Financial Officer for the department.
Morning. My name is Peter Nichbai, Chief Director for NPOs.
Good morning. I'm Eugene Webster, Chief Director, Human Capital.
Good morning, my name is Armstrong. I'm a director responsible for social assistance approach.
Good morning, I'm Salvin Zahoma. I'm the head of social security.
Good morning, I'm Christopher Maraudi. I'm from monitoring and evaluation.
Good morning, my name is Mkulu Limolo, I'm a researcher for Parliament
Social Services.
Good morning, I'm Mr. Rotten from Combatant Sector.
Good morning, I'm Ingrid Nzalvo, I am the PLO from the Office of the Deputy Minister.
Good morning, my name is Sipo Plaki, I'm a member of the Select Committee.
Good morning, my name is Busse Mwe. I'm a member of the Select Committee from Gauteng.
Good morning, my name is Michael Davalius. I'm also a member of the Select Committee and I'm from the Western Cape.
Good morning.
Good morning, my name is Oma Borota. A member of the Select Committee.
Thank you. Kelewa modula stilo, le bitso la ka ke Lydia, ke moradi wa Moshodi, ke tswa province ya Freestata, ke setho sa committee ena ya social services. Kelewa modula stilo.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Khalif Mashamaite, a member of the Select Committee on Social Services, and I'm from Limpopo.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Wendy Makati, member of the Select Committee on Social Services. I'm from the Northwest.
Good morning. My name is Tulisile Ganyaza Twalo. I'm the content advisor for this committee. Thank you.
Good morning, I'm Asal Williams and I'm the committee secretary for this committee.
Yeah, the chairperson of this committee, Namunda Khasmeni from Northwest Province. Let's go straight to our agenda. I hope everybody has got a copy of the agenda. The next item is dealing with the issues of apologies. I have one member, Mrs. Ranto, Honorable Ranto, who is not here with us, who's attending to our parliamentary commitments in Eastern Cape. and also an apology from Prince Zulu, who's also attending to other committee activities on the Committee on Land and Environmental Affairs workshop that is taking place from today. We skip the item that talks of the adoption of committee minutes. We go straight to the briefing by the Department of Social Development on the annual report. And I'm also told that the Older Persons Act will also receive a separate briefing on that. Mr. Dango.
Thank you, Chair. The presentation will essentially be in two parts. The first part, including the overview and the program performance, I will do the presentation. The Acting Chief Financial Officer will then do the presentation on the finances. I will then conclude very briefly with just the legislative framework on that. Thanks. Just to remind members, the strategic perspective of the department and how it informs the work that we do. The department has premised its strategies and services on two platforms. Number one, services that deal with assisting society to deal with poverty as they currently experience them. And the second one is strategies to deal with factors that give rise to and sustain poverty, inequality, and social discord. So it's meeting the immediate needs, but also looking at ways of dealing with the issues in the long term. The vision and mission, maybe, Chair, should I restate this, or can I go past the vision and mission?
Yeah, we can go past.
The strategic priorities that informed the program performance for 2008-2009 were tackling child poverty, tackling adult and older persons' poverty, youth development, social cohesion, civil society support and strengthening of communities, governance and institutional development, regional and international solidarity and development. Our programs and measurable objectives. Program one is administration, and that is to provide for policy and strategic direction by the ministry and top management. Program two is comprehensive social security, and here we ensure the development of norms and standards, facilitate financial and economic planning, monitor compliance with social assistance policy, but also provide for a comprehensive system of social security and facilitate the payment of social assistance grants to eligible households. Program three is called Policy Development, Review, and Implementation Support for Welfare Services. In the future, this will just be known as Welfare Services.
Mm-hmm.
Here we create an enabling environment for the delivery and accessibility of integrated developmental social welfare services in partnership with all our relevant stakeholders. Program four is community development, and here we develop, monitor, and facilitate the implementation of appropriate policy strategies and programs aimed at strengthening the potential of communities, including youth, to sustain and advance their livelihoods and further human development. And then program five, which is strategy and governance. Here we lead the strategic management component of the department, foster operational efficiency, to improve the alignment between mandates and strategies. We also provide strategic guidance on social policy development, coordination, and evaluation, and also facilitate and develop the department strategic plan. And also provide oversight over all entities, agencies, and boards that report to the minister, and coordinate monitoring and evaluation across the sector. So those are the five programs that we'll be speaking to. In terms of the actual program performance, we'll start with program two, which is comprehensive social security. Here, the program objective I've already mentioned. One of the key programs is social insurance. Here, we completed a draft policy on contributory social insurance, which was subjected to review by international panel of social security experts. It was also widely consulted within civil society. Completed a concept paper on the institutional framework for social security. Completed four research reports on improving access to economic opportunities by social assistance beneficiary households as follows: the feasibility of a work seekers grant feasibility of the wage subsidy approach, assessment of institutional framework to link beneficiaries to economic opportunities. We also profiled unemployed beneficiaries. The Southern African Sub-Regional Liaison Office of the International Social Security Association was opened during the period under review, and a steering committee comprising representatives from South Africa, Zambia, and Swaziland was appointed and terms of reference agreed upon. This office is hosted, office hosted an international seminar on extending access to social security on the African continent. Would we perhaps engage on question and answers? My colleague, Mr. Joma, can just talk about the importance of actually having a regional African focus on the issues of social security and the importance of the institution. Program 2, continued social assistance, and this is essentially the big budget area of the department at the moment. In terms of children's benefits, we completed a study on attaching conditions to the extension of the child support grant to children between 15 and 17 years of age. The child support grant in the period under review was extended to children up until their 15th birthday, with effect from 1st of January 2009. The number of child support grant recipients grew by 7%, from 8,189,975 in March 2008 to 8,765,354 by March 2009. The value of the grant for children was increased from 210 rand to 230 rand per month. The foster care grant was increased from 454,199 to 474,759. This represents an annual growth of about 5%. Also, the care dependency grant saw an annual growth rate of 5%. With an increase in beneficiary numbers from 102,292 to 107,065 by March 2009. The care dependency grant income threshold for adults was increased from 1,962 to 2,296 per month. In terms of disability benefits, a policy on social assistance for people with chronic diseases was developed and taken for consultation in the social cluster task team and several stakeholders. The social and older persons benefits, the Social Assistance Act was amended in the period under review to equalize the qualifying age between male and female applicants. This will enable males to receive the old age grant from the age of 60 years in a phased manner during the current medium-term extension framework period. This change has brought over 70,000 men aged 63 years and above into the social grant system. By March 2009, over 2,390 elderly people were in receipt of the old age grant. The old age grant was also adjusted from 940 to 960 per month, so that's the value. The care dependency income threshold for adults was increased from 1,962 to 2,296. And the value of the assets was increased, in terms of assessments, from 338,000 to 460,800 per year for unmarried persons and doubled for married persons. So there was also an increase in the assessment of who qualifies for the grant as well. The provision of social relief of distress, the social relief of distress budget was increased by 500 million from 124 million. Which is our baseline, to 624 million to shield poor people from undue hardships caused by rising food prices and generally the impacts of the economic recession. So there was an adjustment made during the period under review, quite substantial adjustment. The provision of social assistance benefits to other vulnerable groups. I think I've gone through all the key the measures here, and this table just gives you the same data in a different format. I think the one that we haven't really spoken about here was War Veterans Grant, which the figures are, you can see a steady decline in the number of people who received the War Veterans Grant from March 2007 to March 2009. Program 3, deals with social welfare services. Under child care and protection services, there's a new child care legislation. The Children's Act regulations, norms and standards were approved by the NCLP in March 2009. We finalized the draft intersectoral national policy framework. The minister also approved the 5-year national surveillance study on child abuse, neglect and exploitation. The Canadian International Development Agency approved funding to the value of $55 million, and the Child Welfare League of Canada will serve as a technical expert on a national surveillance study on child abuse. In terms of early childhood development, which is a flagship program of the department implemented the National Integrated Plan for Early Childhood Development in partnership with our key stakeholders. The sector registered approximately 13,736 ECD sites during the period of 2008-2009, which means there is an average one ECD site for every 455 children in the country. We paid a per diem subsidy for approximately 411,203 children registered in ECD sites. The program dealing with drugs and substance abuse, the prevention of and treatment for substance abuse, bill was passed as an act. It was passed in November 2008. The DSA started with the implementation of minimum norms and standards for inpatient treatment in 9 treatment centers located in provinces of Mpumalanga, Northwest, KwaZulu-Natal, and the Eastern Cape. The mini drug master plan was approved and distributed for implementation. Capacity building workshops on the implementation of the National Drug Master Plan was held in Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal, and the Eastern Cape Province. 200 service providers were trained in Limpopo and Gauteng provinces, and then 20 members of the Western Cape Provincial Forum on Substance Abuse were trained on the development of mini drug master plans. Also in Mpumalanga, 350 members of the Substance Abuse Forum were trained on the implementation of the National Drug Master Plan, and the drug prevention program Kimoja reached over 20 million young people through radio, cell phones, and other forms of media. Services to people with disabilities. We completed the implementation strategy for a policy on disability. We developed and piloted a training manual on the policy on the management and transformation on protective workshops. We developed and piloted the implementation plan for the policy in KwaZulu-Natal, the Western Cape, Northwest, Gauteng Province, and the Eastern Cape. We piloted phases 2 and 3 of the minimum standards for residential facilities in 4 facilities in the Eastern Cape, and the implementation of phase 1 of the policy on minimum standards and residential facilities was also rolled out in all the provinces. The policy on rehabilitation and community-based services for the people with disabilities was edited and finalized. We implemented minimum norms and standards for inpatient. I think I've dealt with this one. In terms of services to older people, the South African Plan for Action on Aging was developed. We tabled regulations of the Older Persons Act in Parliament. We finalized the draft South African Plan of Action on Aging. We established a coordinating structure to ensure collaborative services delivery to older persons. We also created a partnership with the Department of Sports and Recreation, Health, and in the Western Cape Social and the Western Cape Social Department of Social Development to promote the Golden Games in order to promote the healthy lifestyle among elders. A protocol to manage older persons' abuse was developed to ensure that reported cases of older persons are followed up appropriately. We also developed and piloted coughing templates in the Gauteng province. We assist all national councils and conducted site visits in order to ensure that all the national councils comply with the Public Finance Management Act and the policy on financial awards to service providers. As a result of this, $8.5 million was spent on financial support to at least 20 organizations. This basically deals with our support of service providers. The bulk of the department money goes through service providers, NGOs, and councils. Draft Social Services Professions Bill was taken for consultation and finalized with the South African Council for Social Services and the Professional Boards of Social Work and Child and Youth Care. we developed a draft policy on social services and took it to the transformation management team and also the sector heads throughout the social sector department, which includes the provinces. Strategies to combat child abuse, neglect, and exploitation. Part A of the child protection register has been maintained at all levels, and the capturing of information on the register increased by 154% in 6 provinces. The database system for Part B of the capturing unsuitable people has been developed, and the enhancement of the Part A register according to the Children's Amendment Act was completed. Plan was developed and approved for the National Surveillance Study on Child Abuse, Neglect and Exploitation between ourselves and the CEDA, the Canadian International Development Agency. And essentially we contracted an organization, a partner organization in Canada to help with the technical implementation of the study. Program 3 is Social Welfare Services Continued, dealing with alternative care. We initiated, with the support from UNICEF, a research project on cluster foster care models to assist us to decide on appropriate models to adopt for standardization, and then we developed the protocols and guidelines for such foster care. Adoptions and international social services. The minister approved inter-country adoption practice guidelines. We attended the International Social Services Council and Executive Committee meetings in Geneva, and we also paid up member of the ISS. We developed the International Social Services Guidelines and took them to stakeholders for consultation, and we dealt with 519 international social services cases, and we returned one distressed child from Brazil. Services to children and young people, again, orphans and vulnerable children. We developed draft guidelines for statutory services to child-headed households. We finalized promotional material for child-headed households. Children living and working on the street. We developed the final draft policy framework for children living and working on the streets. Information management system for the early for ECD. We developed draft specifications for the information system for new and existing ECD sites. We developed and updated the manual database for registered ECD sites. We conducted capacity building on the National Integrated Plan on Early Childhood Development in the Western Cape, Limpopo, Gauteng, and Free State. In terms of services to families, we completed, and this is under the program that deals with families, victim empowerment, and social crime prevention. We completed phase one of the social crime prevention strategy. We finalized the reception, assessment, and referral centers, which also the national guidelines and the national resource directory on that. We developed a draft social crime prevention strategy. We conduct training for probation officers on the following norms and standards on diversion. We trained 201 officers. On report writing, we trained 253, and on customer care, we trained 164 officers. We conducted reorientation and training of 308 assistant probation officers, so that they could work as social auxiliary workers together with, we did this together with the South African Council for Social Services Profession. We reviewed the shelter strategy for victims of abuse, completed the review and audit of the National Resource Directory. We evaluated and piloted a strategy on the engagement of men and boys in the prevention of gender-based violence in Northwest. We developed guidelines on human trafficking, domestic violence, rape, and violent crimes. And we also finalized and improved the framework and guidelines on positive values. On HIV and AIDS, and our program on home and community-based care and support, we finalized the National Action Plan on Psychosocial Support. We presented a draft home and community-based care policy framework strategy at the HIV and AIDS Coordinators Workshop in June and October, and also presented the final draft to the Department of Health. We reviewed the current memorandum of understanding between ourselves and two key partners, which is LoveLife, and the Planned Parenthood Association of South Africa, which is PPFA. Developed a module for monitoring and evaluating home and community-based care and data collection tools for this module were implemented by 28 HCDC organizations in KwaZulu-Natal and Northwest. 41,908 community caregivers received accredited training in terms of the National Qualification Framework, levels 1 to 4, and this was done through NGOs. We developed draft modules on psychosocial care and support as part of the implementation of the National Action Plan on Psychosocial Support for Children and Adults Living with HIV and AIDS. In terms of the National Action Plan, we completed a research study on the situational analysis of child-headed households in South Africa. We also contributed its findings. We developed the training manuals on Child Care Forum. In terms of the national audit of the Child Care Forums, a service provider was appointed to conduct this audit, and the findings of the audit were presented at the NAACA meeting, which is basically just the National Association meeting in February 2009 and also March 2009. Program 4 deals with community development. This is the second to last program, which is in terms of community development and policy and service standards, we developed a draft community development policy framework. Just a small note on that. The importance of developing this framework was born out of the fact that there's over 20 billion rand spent on community development throughout government per annum, more or less. We get a very small slice of that. We get about 140 million. Most of that going through the National Development Agency. But we needed to steer a discussion amongst government and other stakeholders about what's the role of government in community development, in our approach to community development, so that there's some level of integration and coordination, and that's why we engaged in this policy framework. We also conducted a skills audit of community development practitioners in all the 9 provinces. We developed and took for consultation 8 new community development standards at NQF level 13 and took for consultation 2 generic unit standards at NQF level 4. We appointed a National Community Development Professionalization Task Team to drive the process of registering practitioners. We developed a database of community development practitioners, which will be translated into a register once a registration body is established. Conducted a study to assess challenges and the support required by CBOs in relation to coordination and integration of services at local level. I think there's the note there says the final report is now available. The registration of NPOs. We administer the Nonprofit Organizations Act, and our chief director is here and can talk about this as one of our bigger headaches and bigger challenges. In the period under review, we registered 6,819 NPOs. We registered 6,819 applications out of a total of 14,000 that was received. This was done within 2 months. This increased the total number of registered NPOs on our database to 56,237 in the period under review. It has probably grown significantly since that. 507 organizations were deregistered for non-compliance with the NPO Act, and 2 of these were reinstated after complying with the legal requirements. We appointed 8 new members to the panel of arbitrators who convened 4 meetings. In terms of the capacity building of the sector, we completed research on the benchmark and also reviewed NPO governance practices. We undertook the evaluation of the community development practitioner trainer program. We've got a program called Sustainable Livelihoods under Community Development. Here we did some work on household profiling. We finalized a draft qualitative household profiling tool, which was endorsed by all provincial sustainable livelihoods program managers. This tool was piloted in Mpumalanga. The tool was also used to profile 2,855 poor households in the Western Cape, Mpumalanga, Gauteng, Northwest, and Free State. We also facilitated the participation of 200 community development practitioners in the implementation of the quantitative household profiling tool which was developed by the Presidency and Statistics of Africa for the World Poverty Campaign. This is essentially a tool that was used in the communities that the Presidency visited as part of its campaign. We participated in all the launches, and we also participate quite keenly in the National Task Team on the War Room on Poverty. In part of this, we facilitate the construction of 20 veggie tunnels in Khakha, Atlas Village in Limpopo, in partnership with the Department of Agriculture. We developed a draft community profiling framework, which was tested in Kagiso Township, which is in Gauteng. We facilitate the construction of 60 veggie tunnels in Northwest, Limpopo, and the Eastern Cape. 20 of these were erected in the newly resettled community of Bokfontein in Northwest, while 20 were erected in Bikini in the Eastern Cape. I spoke about the Khakhatla one in Limpopo already. We also initiated a program on fruit trees. My colleague can speak a bit about that. But the proposal for fruit trees to support deforestation, food security, and greening were three of our sites, and these are in the Eastern Cape, Limpopo, and Northwest. This was submitted to the then Department of Water Affairs and Forestry. The proposal was approved, and the project will roll out. We're essentially rolling out in this current year. We also initiated a program on food banks. And we developed a food banking concept document. We facilitated the signing of an MOU between our government, the Community Food Banking Network of South Africa, and the Global Food Banking Network. We supported four community food banks in Cape Town, Durban, Port Elizabeth, and Johannesburg, and one rural food bank pilot in Umkanyakude district in KZN. We also began discussing a total value chain approach to dealing with issues of poverty and community development, and that's essentially a model that came from the, what my colleague has spoken about that, but introduced a total value chain poverty alleviation model using hemp, using the hemp project in the Eastern Cape to demonstrate the potential of the model, and if you need more details on the model, we can discuss this after the briefing, question time. And the first phase of the model has been very successfully implemented. We had 100 people participating with several stakeholders in East London. We developed and tested the toolkit for community development practitioners in South Africa. We piloted this in the Northern Cape, and the key findings of the pilot were costed. We held consultations with the Eastern Cape, Northwest, and the Limpopo provinces on the development of a social development cooperative concept document. Monitoring of sustainable livelihoods and implementation partners, contracts of the National Association of People Living with HIV and AIDS, NAPWA, and also the National Association of Burial Societies of South Africa, the Food Bank South Africa, the South African Hemp Industry, Kenya African Institute of Community Development, and also the IDT were developed, and service levels agreements were generated. So there's quite a bit of work done with implementing partners there. We conducted site visits to Kalkfontein community to assess progress on the construction of community walls. We conducted three monitoring site visits to Sibindithemba Co-op and Siyatubeka Drop-in Center. We conducted site visit workshops to 12 disability workshops in Limpopo. And we also facilitated the implementation of poverty relief projects that were supported by the Independent Development Trust and handed these over to provinces. Through this process, 408 projects were successfully handed over, while 102 of these are fully functional and are now working as cooperatives. In terms of our youth development program, youth development policies and strategies, we developed guidelines on the youth development strategy. We audited 5 pieces of legislation affecting youth. The audit was completed internally due to financial constraints, but also a national youth policy was approved by Cabinet. In terms of improving services for youth, the Youth Service Program Toolkit, which covers youth development strategy and also national youth services, developed and distributed to provinces. We facilitated the establishment of youth directorates in 5 provinces to strengthen our institutional capacity to implement youth development in the provinces. and then Cabinet approved the National Youth Development Policy. I'll speak about the TILA Youth Pioneer Program, which is the probably the biggest initiative on youth development that we've embarked upon in the last year. We developed a framework and 6 modules for the Masopa TILA curriculum. Just want to speak about that. When we talk about the curriculum, it's just not training. The Masopa TILA Youth Pioneer Program is a process where we're trying to take youth from being active recipients of development to being active participants in not only their own development, but also the active participants in community initiatives. And the curriculum is one that is value-shaping. So it's a value-shaping curriculum, and it's based on a similar program that the Cubans developed for social workers, particularly young social workers. And social work is not defined by the profession, but defined by what they do in the community. So we've worked with them on this. As we speak, the 10 Cuban experts that we interviewed are now in the country. Mm-hmm. So, but and during the period under review, we did the interviews and the processes to get them here. During the period under review, 2,114 youth pioneers were recruited and orientated well. 1,754 pioneers participated actively in the War on Poverty initiatives. In terms of the professionalization of youth work, we hosted a national youth work policy conference. The research report on the state of youth in South Africa was finalized and launched. In terms of youth volunteerism and promoting youth volunteerism, we held 4 roundtable workshops on youth volunteerism under the following themes: youth volunteers for development, creating an enabling environment for youth volunteerism, creating an enabling environment for youth volunteerism in the public sector, and strengthening youth volunteerism in civil society. And we consolidated, based on this, consolidated the framework for youth volunteerism. And then lastly, Program 5, which is Strategy and Governance. Just very briefly, this program deals with both support services, but also has land function responsibilities in terms of the white paper on population and development. In terms of entity oversight and management, we finalize and facilitate the approval of the compliance reporting framework for public entities. Namely, our 2 biggest ones are ASASA and the NDA, with ASASA by far being the most in terms of budget lands. We developed and facilitated the approval of terms of reference for the minister's interface with our entities. Also signed the MOUs between the minister and the NDA board. Conducted performance reviews for entities based on their strategic plans, which also includes looking at the quarterly reports. This program also deals with the key social security institutions, and in the next financial year, this will be part of the social security framework. Here we establish an independent tribunal for social assistance appeals. The tribunal adjudicates appeals emanating from the grant application process administered by SASA. The minister appointed 128 individuals to serve on the tribunal, and this includes 58 medical practitioners, 47 legal experts, and also 23 members from civil society. By March 2009, the tribunal considered and finalized 13,269 of the 60,000 appeals lodged during the reporting period. So you can see there's a big gap between what we were able to do during under the reporting period and the actual appeals lodged. And when we discuss this, we can also look at the chain between administration flaws and one element within SASA, and then how this impacts also on our abilities on the appeal. So it's a much bigger discussion than just the end part of this. We also have the project called Special Project Coordination. Essentially, this is at the stage the Special Project Unit deals exclusively almost with the Extended Public Works Program, although there are other stuff in the current financial year that they're dealing with. But they completed the Extended Public Works Program, Social Sector Action Plan. By March 2009, the social sector had created 174,255 jobs through EPWP, well above the 5-year target of 150,000. Just to say that the Department of Social Development doesn't create all these jobs. We coordinate the activities of the other social sector departments, including our own. And that, but the slight difference in these targets is that in the social sector, when we talk about 174 jobs, they are more likely to be jobs than job opportunities because the scope for permanency is higher in the social sector than in other parts. Okay. We finalized the review of phase one of the EBWP and the findings of the review and the broad principles for framing the second phase were then endorsed by Cabinet. And we also then designed phase two of EBWP in May 2008. We've got a social policy unit, which is headed by DDG. The independent tribunals unit is also headed by DDG under this program. The social policy unit completed the audit of research commissioned by all the directors in the department. 54 civil servants working in policy development at national and provincial departments received training in social policy. In order to promote the research policy nexus and to promote evidence-based policymaking in the SADC region, the department embarked on a process of securing joint leadership and ownership with other countries in the region on issues of social policy and how evidence needs to inform policy. The main purpose of our social policy unit is to infuse an evidence-based approach to policymaking and program development. With the adoption of the draft SADC Regional Social Policy Framework, we initiated a network of policymakers and high-level civil servants in countries such as Swaziland, Zimbabwe, Namibia, Zambia, Malawi, Botswana, and Mauritius. Monitoring and evaluation. In order to create, facilitate an effective M&E system in the social sector, and the social sector is the provinces, SASA, the NDA, and to a lesser extent at this stage, NGOs, because we still need to get there. We've developed a system to capture these. We piloted an electronic monitoring system in three of the provinces in the period under review, which is KwaZulu-Natal, Mpumalanga, and the Northern Cape. A modified electronic monitoring and paper-based tools were updated based on the pilot. We developed and finalized our non-financial performance indicators. We facilitated the training of 35 officials from the social sector in the International Program for Development Evaluation and Training, which is offered by the World Bank and Carleton University. The way we've done this, instead of sending people from across the country to the World Bank, we brought the World Bank trainer to South Africa, and we found that it was much better value to do it that way. And given the importance of M&E in public service monitoring and improvement at the moment, we think it was a good investment. An evaluation framework of appropriate indicators has been finalized. An impact evaluation plan for the child support grant was developed, and the project is actually being implemented as we speak. In terms of population and development, which is this program also is responsible for the white paper on population development, finalized a series of thematic chapters for the countrywide report on population and development. We also have the final report is a joint policy plus 10, also an ICBD plus 15 report. These are very important policy instruments in the international world that we are signatories to, and we've subsequently reported both to the UN in New York and also in Addis Ababa around this. And the following points basically just unpacks all of those points, Jay, so I'm not going to go through the details of those. We completed fieldwork for the second phase of our nodal research project. In the previous year, we did a very huge study on the impact on the poverty nodes. We submitted the final report findings of phase two of this report during the period under review, and the then deputy minister launched the report entitled Building Sustainable Livelihoods, an Overview, at a public seminar on Policy Plus 10 in December 2008. A major outcome of the research project was the production of evidence on socioeconomic and demographic baselines for each node and an overview of each node, and information on urban and rural project designs, and also progress with the implementation of the current UNFPA country program and poverty relief program. Not listed in the annual report, but an important outcome of this report was also a revisit by not only ourselves but other government departments on the value of only funding income-generating projects in the north, and challenges around the cooperative approach, and we can talk more about that later. The following points, Chair, just talks about capacity building across government and NGOs in terms of our planned work on population and development. And then the following slide gives the details of where we've done that, so I perhaps not need to go through all of those. The Strategy Planning and Development and Risk Management Chief Directorate produced a high-level concept document that will guide the process of developing a sector strategy, which has been done. We've had a workshop with the NCOP on our sector strategy. We institutionalized a risk enterprise risk management function within the department. We developed a sector infrastructure framework with a toolkit to facilitate infrastructure planning and implementation. The importance of this is the social sector backlog in terms of offices, in terms of infrastructure for social workers to deliver their work, in terms of SASA's ability to deliver quality services. This deals with all the kind of infrastructure issues that will allow us to do quality work. We didn't get the money, which will be over the next 20 years, quite a few hundreds of millions, but we did get some money to begin to map out what we need to do over the next 20 years in terms of that infrastructure plan. And that's what this unit did at that level. And we can talk more about that in question and answers, but there's a huge backlog in terms of our social services infrastructure. We also did a gender needs analysis study, and through this unit actually participate quite keenly on both local and international issues impacting on gender and development of both women and girls. This unit also launched the customer care charter and also a customer care strategy, which is ready for implementation, which we have. And it links to the previous point about infrastructure. The customer care approach and plan isn't just about being nice and polite. It actually talks about the way we deliver quality services to people, where we interface with them. So it means looking at our human capital, moving away from a situation where we interface with the people that we deliver services to. We've got poor infrastructure. We've also got our most lowly educated and ill-equipped staff. So this customer care program and charter that we developed deals with all of those issues. We also introduced and coordinated what we call an internal consulting capacity development program. It essentially developed internal consulting capacity for the sector so that on issues of strategy, M&E, a whole range of services that you'd normally find were outsourced, we can now begin to do internally. And not just for the national department, but for SASA, the provinces. So you'll find that strategic plans in the provinces are now being facilitated by ourselves in the provinces by staff people employed at the national office and a range of other services. The following slide, Chair, just gives a range of international obligations in the period under review. Should I go through all of them? There's about five slides dealing with them, or should we respond to these questions?
Okay, do it in summary.
Okay. During the period, the previous minister, undertook 11 international official visits. The bulk of these dealt with his role as the chair of UNESCO, the chair of the UNESCO MOST program, which deals with bringing together ministers of social transformation and development across the globe, and to begin to look at collaborative policy. And through this program, we are also the government representatives on both labor and social development at the OECD. So we both, through the work of the Department of Labor and ourselves at the OECD, and report back on those. The previous minister is still the chair of the MOST program because they wanted to retain him in his individual capacity for a while. So most of these obligations then deal with the MOST program. The deputy minister, the then deputy minister, most of her international related travel was in support of the community services or the social welfare component of the Department of Health and some of our international obligations in relation to that area of work, which includes attending the UN Commission on the Status of Women and others. The strengthening of Africa institutions of governance. These were the key. We concluded multilateral agreements with Mauritius and Mexico, and these are mostly around social security issues, but also it's extended beyond that. We've got agreements with Mali, Zimbabwe, the Sudan, and then contributing towards post-conflict reconstruction and development in Africa. Based on the binational agreements in 2006, 7 years, we had to deploy 4 members in the DRC to help the non-existent Department of Social Welfare in the DRC to set up infrastructure, to employ and train staff. We also mobilized international donor and South African sort of private sector support for support for that department during our brief stay there in the period under review. I'd like to move to the issues on strategic challenges. During the year under review, the department faced the following challenges, amongst others. Human capital. Our biggest challenge here was a high staff turnover in the financial planning and expenditure monitoring unit. It seemed that staff from this particular skills base was being poached by others in government, and particularly parliament, during the period under review. And that has some significant impacts on our abilities to do key work there. Financial constraints. The labor relations strategy for the social sector could not be completed due to financial constraints. I suppose this is a code word for OSD. The occupational specific dispensation, and we've got the Chief Director of Human Capital to talk about that. The legislative challenges we had, the harmonized assessment tool for assessment of the disability grant could not be implemented, as the Social Assistance Act could not be amended to give effect to implementation of this. The draft bill on social services could also not be finalized, and the draft policy on social services at that stage was yet to be approved by relevant structures within the social sector. In terms of accrediting service providers, the lack of accredited service providers for community caregivers in the home community-based care program remains a significant challenge in terms of scaling up our program, but also looking at the issues of quality. And then interdepartmental institutional challenges. The implementation of the National Action Plan for Children Affected by HIV could not proceed as planned as a result of poor representation by stakeholders on the National Action Committee for Children Affected by HIV and AIDS, which is NACA. There are many other challenges that members may have picked up and that we can discuss, but we just wanted to highlight these. So this deals with the program performance issues.
Yeah. Mr. Duncan, you realize that I gave you a full hour to make this presentation. I was trying to buy time for the arrival of the Deputy Minister. I'm not sure whether she's arrived yet. She hasn't. You'll come in and make that apology for the Minister. She hasn't arrived. And the purpose for us to have this kind of interaction with the Department is to have the political heads to be the ones who are leading this, the team from the department, and engage with us, you know, on the issues of the department.
interrogating the annual report of the department, the finances of the department, and everything of the department. We want politicians to be here. So for us to sit here as politicians and engage with you is a futile exercise. You know, it doesn't help us at all as the select committee. Yes, Member Mashami?
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Can I propose something before we can even attempt to interact with the briefing? That we adjourn for a few minutes, they check with the Deputy Minister whether he or she is still coming or she has decided not to come. Thanks.
By the members of the committee what to do next now. Asking for your indulgence, members. How do I proceed? Yes, Member Mahat.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to, you know, even if we can proceed, but I just want to register my concern, because procedurally, if the two ministers are not here as political leaders, the DG is supposed to be here. So I don't know what is happening. The minister is not here, the deputy minister is not here, the DG as an accounting officer also is not part of this meeting. Whatever that decision that as a committee will take, but I want us this thing to be noted, because to us it depends. You know, an element of undermining the NCOP. We are here, we have been delegated, we are representing the provinces. So we expect to get the input from the relevant people. This is just, I just want that to be noted, even if we can continue, but you know, I really feel that it's an element of undermining the NCOP.
Thanks very much. Member Mashamaite and Member Sibilias.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. I don't know what was the response in terms of trying to get hold of the minister, the deputy minister. We have not been told whether they are coming, they are not coming, their phones are off, they are nowhere to be found. We need to be told. And then, I also feel not comfortable, Honorable Chair. I mean, we are politicians. We have to hear from our counterparts on certain issues, and not only the officials. We are not saying the officials don't know what they are doing, but we will feel comfortable if the political heads should be here. And for us as a committee, I should feel we need to take a position that we don't continue with the meeting, so that the two political heads, they must see our seriousness. We are serious. We are not playing. Thanks.
Thank you. You'll come in, Mr. Dango, to just to explain to the committee, on what we were doing over the 5 minute break. Let's allow Mr. Tivillas, would you allow Mr. Dango to?
Yeah.
Mr. Dango, can you respond?
Thanks, Chair, Honorable Members. Just to give a brief explanation about why the Minister and the DG is not here, there's two sets of meetings running concurrently. Both on annual reports. There's an annual report for SASA, which the National Assembly is hearing, and it requires the Minister and the DG to attend that because we've got an acting CEO of SASA in place. which is why we've got an acting chief financial officer here, because our CFO is acting as the acting CEO. The deputy minister and myself were then going to lead the delegation to this meeting, because both meetings are running through no fault of our own at the same time. So we've learned that the deputy minister is also at the meeting in Terni. So we're just trying, we sent somebody to go and fetch her and come to this meeting. And from what I've heard, I'm not sure whether she's been called out of that meeting yet and is on her way to this meeting as we stand. And I was hoping that she would be there soon. And this is the message that has come through now while we're sitting. I haven't heard anything. So that was the apology I gave to the chair in the morning about the minister and the DG. Okay. Able to come to this one as well, because both meetings are running concurrently.
Okay.
Mr. De Villa, Member De Villa.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. I'm also very disappointed in the two ministers who's not present in this meeting. And I think we must put our an objection to the situation to our leading the NCOP, the chairperson of the NCOP, and also ask him to write a letter to the speaker and the president about the situation which we currently is in this morning. They can't take the NCOP as granted. We are not part of the governance just to in name, but we are also very interested in doing our work, oversight work in the provinces. And that is very important. We are representing our people on the ground, and in my situation I must report back to my province if there's something wrong, and that is very important to me. I think we must write that letter to the chairperson of the NCOP so that he can take it up with the speaker and the president. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think everyone summed it up quite correct. But I would just like to say, you know, we must understand that if these ministers, it's not to their fault that they must be in the MA as well, the DG and the minister. I think there's a conflict in these two meetings, and that should be sorted out between the heads of the two houses. That's the one thing. And then the other thing I think we must just think of, if we just stop this every now, I mean, it costs government and the ratepayer a lot to get the officials here and to come and present us all these facts. And my feeling individually is that we hear everything out from these guys, and if there are questions, that we perhaps pose these questions to the minister or the DG for their staff to reply to us in writing if there are specific questions. But I just believe that we are, or the ratepayer and the government are paying a lot of money for the officials to be here today, and we can't just say that we're going to stop. That's my feeling. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Because that one will be a fruitless expenditure, and the department will be expected to account why that fruitless expenditure. That one, it won't lie with us, but it will lie with the department.
I think
it's not our day. Member Blanky, thank you. Yeah, Chairperson, I also want to just join the chorus to say we must continue the meeting, but we must note, Chairperson, that this perception of relegating the NCOP to not being a the parliament on its own, and the only parliament is MA, it's not correct, and it must be corrected immediately. Because you see, Chairperson, this matter was explained number of times that these two houses are equal; they are just national parliament. The difference is that we dealing separately with different issues. But we are also a national parliament. we must not be relegated as a committee who does not have no value and all those things. It will not assist provinces if we are here for such a pertinent chairperson. I thank you very much.
Member Buroto. Thank you, Chairperson. Well, I second that we continue with this. I just want to bring the issue of time here, because when we come to these meetings, we usually say it's 10 to half past 12 and we have got other programs that we have to go to. I'm not sure if we will be able to get everything as arranged before. So I was just saying, please let's look at the time. I'm also disappointed that the DG and the deputy minister or the minister is not here.
Thanks, Member Broad. There's a note here that says the deputy minister is apparently on the way.
The last one then will allow the department to of Member Mshudi and Member Mube will allow the department.
Enkosi Chairperson. Chair, noting that the deputy minister has been on her way from we started, and she apologized for not being with us when we started, but she the apology that she was going to be joining us late. I will propose that the financial report continues. Maybe when the presentation on finances ends, she will be there. As we interact with the whole report, we will expect that she's with us. Thank you.
Yeah. Members, I will do the summary of what you have expressed in the presence of the deputy minister, if she arrives. Let me allow the department to continue presenting the financial report. In 10 minutes, financial report.
Honorable Chair, members, thank you very much. I'll try and be as quick as I can. It's in terms of the first two slides. I will skip. I think what is important, the aim is very closely related to the vision and the mission of the department, is really to give expression. In terms of the departmental spending, the department managed to spend 99.4% of its allocated budget of 67.5 billion rand. There was a net saving of 457 million rand. If we go to the next slide, it is just that slide. Thank you very much. In terms of that slide, I think it's important to note, very closely linked to what Mr. Dangora has indicated, that the bulk of our money is going to, as transfers to households, which is basically the social assistance grants that are paid by or through SASSA. Then only 6% basically relates to operations and the, to other transfers, which include the NDA and the other few transfers also to the SASSA operations. And then the department's operation is very small in comparison with the big transfer of just 1%. It's 436.9 million. In terms of the next slide, the focus is now just on the operational expenditure of the department, excluding the major transfers. Here we have managed to spend, of the 440 million, we've managed to spend 99.25% of that money. There was a small saving or surplus of 3 million. In terms of the division of that money, it's also critical to note that the bulk of our money is for goods and services, which is 56%. It's 242 million. Compensation is the second largest amount of 42%. It's 184 million. And then capital, which is mainly our office equipment and IT equipment for own operations. We don't have large capital investments at National. In terms of the next one, important here or critical is that with the move of the social assistance function to the National Department of Social Development, since then there was a quite complex arrangement where the bulk of the money, or the money for the social grants, which is basically 71 billion for 2008-09, was voted to the National Department. So the National Department stayed accountable for the money. The money is transferred to SOSA, who administered these monies on our behalf. So it means it's very complex. We disclose the money, and they do the administration of our on our behalf. Therefore, it's critical, the second paragraph, to note that because of this arrangement, any shortcoming or failure that may exist in SASA's internal control systems will have a direct impact on the findings of the National Department's financial statements. Therefore, it's so critical that close working relationship and assistance. Next slide. In terms of the small underspending, small in relation to the billions, only 457 million was underspent. Of that, 764,000 rand relates to Program 1 administration, and it's the normal turnover of staff, which has then an impact on the operations, operational costs also. The bulk of the saving was on our Program 2, Comprehensive Social Security, under social grants. Again, I need to emphasize, we do projections based on population numbers, so it's very difficult to predict how many social grant beneficiaries will turn ultimately up and to receive the grants. So there was a saving then of that 451.9. of which the bulk is for social grants. In terms of Program 3, its policy development, there was only 2.14 million saving, and it relates mainly to projects that will only be finalized in the new financial year. In terms of Program 4, community development, there was a saving of 2.1 million. And the main reason for that saving is for two transfers that were not processed for two NGOs at national level due to compliance. And because we first, as Mr. Dangor indicated, we look first at compliance and ensure the money is being spent according to our agreements. If there are delays, consequently the delays are taken into consideration, and therefore the money for those two organizations has been requested for rollover to 2019, which we have then received also. In terms of Program 5, Strategy and Governance, it's just 549,000, which is again small turnover of staff, but also projects that needs to be done in the new financial year. In terms of the Auditor General's report, I think it's critical to note that although we haven't stated it here, but since basically the start of the department, we don't have any qualification in our reports. We've just mentioned the past 7 years. So again, we collectively managed to have an unqualified audit opinion. There was matters of concern raised in terms of controls, financial related aspects, compliance aspects, and value of money. A detailed action plan was developed on all these weaknesses or areas for improvement, and we are monitored it on a monthly basis, also in collaboration with our audit committee. In terms of, we do have two emphasis of matter, but it should be noted that both of these emphasis of matter are sort of outside the ability of the department to control it. First of all, it's the flow of funds. I've mentioned about the complex arrangements. between the department and the South African Social Security Agency. The next emphasis of matter is basically on the basic accounting policy of government. That is also a uniform finding across government. Technical-wise, we do our preparation of our financial statements in a cash-based accounting, whereas we progressively move towards GAAP. So that was mainly why the emphasis was there. Then the matters, other matters raised, it's serious, but it does not warrant really an emphasis of matter or a qualification. It relates basically to the social assistance grants. There are some areas in terms of processes that needs to be improved by the South African Social Security Agency, the administration of the beneficiary files, etc. There's also the social assistance grant debtors. As department, we have received extension to disclose these monies and up until last year. So we did manage to disclose it, but there was again some elements of administrative problems with regard to the management and administration of the social assistance grant debtors, which are currently receiving attention. There is a special project established around this matter, and we hope that by March the picture will be much more improved around that. Another area that they raised as an other matter is basically social relief of distress. Again, here it's around the controls and the administration around the social relief of distress, which is basically a discretionary allocation. Other matters, it's basically, I try to go as fast as possible, Chairperson. I think we can deal with the questions if needed. The matters of governance. Important here to note that the reason here is basically there were quite some changes to the financial statements after it was timely submitted to the Auditor General, and basically it relates to what Mr. Dangor has raised previously. There was really a lack of warm bodies, human resources in the finance section, also in the financial administration section. But we have dealt with it. People, new people have been appointed, and we were also required to do an interim financial statement, so the situation has improved. In terms of the way forward, critical to note, I've already mentioned that a specific task team has been established on the social assistance grant debtors due to the complexities thereof. Still the linkages with the provincial departments of social development, also the SASSA itself in terms of the SOCPEN or the social grant pension system, and the special investigation unit. Then a comprehensive plan has also been implemented with a view to transfer certain administrative functions from the special investigation unit to SASSA with regard to the administration of the social assistance grant debtors. Related to the fraudulent aspects that we're busy managing, and then there's the overarching plan for the whole Auditor General's report that I'm being managed on a monthly basis and with the Audit Committee. Chairperson, thank you very much. Mr. Dangor, may.
Thank you very much, ma'am. I think we have to call this meeting off based on what the committee has recommended and what they have suggested. But indeed, it is a futile exercise for us to have this particular engagement without the political heads not being present in this particular meeting. And the relevant official has been trying to get hold of the Deputy Minister. Looks like she's not succeeding. And I think what the committee has said in terms of saying that we need to write a letter to the Office of the Minister together with the Deputy Minister and the Chief Whip and the Speaker, that will be written
to raise this particular concern, that the committee is very, very disappointed by the manner in which it has been treated by the department. And we expect that next time when we call the department to come and engage with us, the relevant politicians will be present in this meeting. So I think we can close this meeting and release the officials, and we will also communicate our disappointment to the minister and the deputy minister. Thanks very much.